In the Epistle to the Hebrews, Christ, our great high priest, is portrayed as the perfect mediator between God and man, his priestly office being infinitely superior to the Levitical priesthood of the old Mosaic order. His work of redemption to remove sin is complete and need never be repeated, while the sacrificial system of the old covenant was only a temporary measure provided by God until the coming of Jesus. Christ now serves as high priest in a heavenly sanctuary, which was set up by the Lord, not by man, while the tabernacle built by Moses was merely a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant, established on better promises. If there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, says the writer, there would have been no need for a second one. The Old Testament sacrifices were not able to transform the heart of the worshipper, because they were merely external regulations. But by means of the new covenant, resting upon the finished work of Christ, God's laws are written in the minds and on the hearts of his people. Moreover, a way has been opened for the believer to come into the very presence of God, which had not been possible as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. As for the sacrifices, they had to be offered continually, for the blood of animals cannot purify the human heart. But Christ came not with the blood of goats and bulls, but with his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for all who believe. For if the blood of animals provided outward cleansing by taking away ceremonial impurity, how much more, says the writer, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself as a perfect sacrifice to God, purify our consciences from dead works to serve the living God? For without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. As Christ appeared once to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself, so he will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are waiting for him. And as it is appointed for men to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. The author of the letter, therefore, exhorts his readers to draw near to God with confidence, in full assurance of faith, by the new and living way that was opened and consecrated for us by the blood of Jesus. He also warns his readers of the terrible consequences of deliberately rejecting the truth they had received, for it would be as though they trampled the Son of God underfoot, despised the blood of the covenant, and insulted the Spirit of grace. It is a dreadful thing, he says, to fall into the hands of the living God. But, he adds, we are not of those who draw back and are lost, but of those who believe and are saved. Faith is essential in the life of the believer, for without faith, says the writer, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. To help his readers understand the meaning of faith, he gives a definition of the word. Faith, he says, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. To illustrate this statement, he mentions the names of many Old Testament saints whose persevering faith had gained God's approval and had enabled them to overcome the powers of evil. Beginning with Abel, Enoch, and Noah, he goes on to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, after that Moses and other heroes of faith, up to David, Samuel, and the prophets. Therefore, he says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, having our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Christ, our supreme example of steadfast endurance, strengthens the believer to persevere without growing weary or losing heart. The writer exhorts his readers to endure hardship as part of their training. It is God's way of disciplining his children for their good, so that they may share in his holiness and produce a harvest of righteousness and peace. Without holiness, he says, no one will see the Lord. Then he gives some final exhortations. Believers are to offer the sacrifice of praise to God, giving thanks to his name, because God is faithful and Christ does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, he says. As Jesus suffered outside the gates to make his people holy, So let us go with him outside the camp, bearing his shame. For here we have no permanent city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. The letter ends with a beautiful blessing. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, enable you in everything to do what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Next episode, the First Epistle of Peter.